Thank you all for coming out tonight, or thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. And welcome to Grace Community Wednesday night service. If you're tuning in and don't know who I am, my name is Wade, and I'm glad you're watching. Let me go ahead and open us in prayer, and we'll just get right into it here. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word. I'm thankful for the message, Lord, that you put on my heart. I know it was one I needed to hear, and I just pray that you'd open hearts and minds to receive it, Lord. And not only to receive it, I pray that you would give us the boldness to apply it to our lives, Lord, and see the fruit that comes from it. Father, I just thank you for helping me to feel better to get up here and do this. And I just pray for all those that are still sick, Lord, with COVID or the flu or whatever they have. I just pray that you'd comfort them, Lord, and help them to get through their sickness. And Lord, we just turn this service over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, the last time I was up here, we were talking about how the enemy is always trying to distract us and to keep us from what God has called us to do. You know, we talked about how God has appointed us to be witnesses and to be ambassadors for Him and to be light in a dark world, and how the enemy is always trying to disappoint us, to distract us so we won't be able to do the things that God has appointed us to do. He tries to discourage us so that we'll give up and disappoint ourselves and wind up not doing the things that God has called us to, the things that we should be doing. He tries to get us so discouraged that we just give up and figure that we've just failed, so why should we even try? This week, I want to talk about how we can be encouraged instead of discouraged. I want to talk about how we can get back that excitement that good does prevail. I think we all get to a point sometimes where we're just discouraged. We get so focused on negativity and the negative things going on in the world that we forget to see the good things that are going on and the blessings that we have. So I want to talk about how we can get that excitement back, that good does prevail and that we are not defeated, and we need to stop living as though we are. You know, so many people, like I said a minute ago, have just stopped fighting for what is good and what's right because they've been discouraged so long that they feel like it's just a lost cause and it's never going to get any better, that things are never going to change. And that's just not true. You know, there is hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And Jesus Christ is not defeated. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's doing just fine. And we're not defeated either. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He always will be. And we are still children of God Almighty, and we're not defeated either. And through Jesus Christ, we will never be defeated. You know, Jesus Himself said that the gates of hell will not prevail against His church, and we are His church. You know, we're reading out of Luke. The last time I was up here in chapter 18, we were talking about, some of y'all probably remember how one will be taken and the other will be left. And so when I went home after preaching that night, I just kept on reading in Luke, and I came across these verses. And these are the ones that we'll be going back and forth to tonight. But our main text is in Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. And I'll go ahead and read through the whole thing one time, and then we'll kind of get into it and talk about it a little bit. But in Luke 18, verses 35 through 43, it says, "And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What will you that I should do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive your sight. Thy faith has saved you." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So when I was reading that, it really spoke to me about, you know, that's the way that we are a lot of times. And, you know, I hear people all the time that saying, "God's not speaking to me. You know, I'm not hearing God. He's not saying anything to me." And my question to that is, how often are you reading God's word? You know, are you seeking God? If you pray to God and ask him to speak to you while you're reading his word, he will. And you don't have to go looking for a specific thing to read about, or, you know, a certain topic to read about or anything. Just ask God to speak to you while you're reading his word, and just pick up his word, and he'll speak into your situation, you know, no matter what your situation is. And no matter where you're reading, God is able to speak to you through his word. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For his word is alive." It says the word of God is alive and powerful. "It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, and between the joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." So when you're reading God's word and you're praying to God and asking God to speak to you, he will, through his word and through prayer. God will speak to you if you're seeking him. It also says in Hebrews 11:6 that God is a rewarder of those that seek him. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So we have to seek God. We have to get in his word and expect him to answer. We need to pray to him. He knows our situations. God, there's nothing we go through that God don't see. And if we're in his word seeking answers from him, he will answer you. You know, we're not going to hear God if all we're doing is complaining about our problems and dwelling on our problems. And, you know, if we're honest in our hearts saying God's not doing anything, you know, God is doing something. God is always doing something. The problem is we're not always seeking him. But if we're praying to God and getting in his word and being faithful in seeking him, he will speak to you. He speaks to me when I'm going through problems. That's one of the first things I do, is pray and get in his word. And like I said, you don't have to find that exact thing that you're going through in his word. Just get in his word and start reading, and you'd be amazed at how much he will speak to you. And if you'll get in his word and read it and pray on a regular basis, you'll find that God he'll speak to you on a regular basis. And he'll talk to you every day. You know, God hasn't went anywhere. We just, a lot of times, we expect him to do something without us putting forth any effort. And, you know, like we talked a couple of weeks ago, when we get to that point, we get disappointed. You know, we get discouraged. And I believe that's why these verses got my attention so much when I read them. So back to Luke 18, it says the blind man in verses 35 and 36 is just sitting there by the wayside begging and watching the multitude just pass by. And that's what we do. We get so focused on our problems and we're not seeking solutions, and that's what it feels like sometimes. You know, I'm just going to sit here in this darkness and in my problems while the world just passes me by. I'm just going to give up on all my hopes and dreams while my life passes me by. I've been there. That's not a good place to be. That's a horrible place to be. But I think when we get to that point, we got to do what that blind man did. when he heard Jesus, or heard about Jesus was passing by, it gave him hope. And then, you know, verses 37 and 38, they told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he started crying out to Jesus when he heard Jesus was passing by. And he wouldn't stop crying out to him. Even when everybody around him kept telling him to shut up, he cried out even louder. And that's what it says in verse 39. The people that were around him were telling him to be quiet and hold his peace, but he cried out even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, I think that's a picture of us. When we find ourselves in that shape, we have to cry out to Jesus. You know, we don't accomplish anything by recognizing our problems or talking about our problems. We get results when we cry out to Jesus and trust him to help us with our problems. And when the world or the people in our lives tell us to shut up and God's not going to help you, we need to cry out to God even louder. You know, we don't need to listen to those voices in our lives. You know, we just got through reading that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we need to diligently seek him, you know, and don't pay any attention to the people in our life that try and tell you that God don't care or God won't help you or God isn't even there. You know, you're praying to a God that don't exist. We don't need to listen to voices like that in our lives. God is there and he will answer you if you call out to him in prayer and get in his word. It's all through scripture. Those that seek me will find me. So we need to seek him. We will never find what we're not looking for. But if we're looking for God and seeking God, we will find God. But if we're not seeking God and we're not looking for God, we won't find him. I think, too, that many of us are looking for help and looking for relief instead of looking for God. We go to looking for the things that we think we need instead of looking for the one that can help us. And that is one of the biggest tricks of the enemy. You know, God is our help. He is our relief. So instead of looking for help and looking for relief, we need to do like it says in Matthew 6, verse 33, and just seek him. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So instead of looking for the help and the relief that we think we need to be looking to God. He knows what we need. So we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says all those other things will be added to us. We have to trust God at his word that's true and seek him first, and he will take care of things. He's done that time and time again in my life. You know, I thought I knew the answer. I knew all I have to do is do this, or all I have to do is, you know, do this, and I'll make this much money, and that'll solve my problems. But most of the time, all I did was dig a deeper hole for myself, trying to fix it myself. But every time, without fail, that I've trusted God and just, you know, seek him, he always gave me the answer and led me in the right direction, and things wound up getting worked out, and I didn't have to stress myself out to do it. And I love it the way it says it in verse 40 of Matthew 8 or Luke 18. It says he got Jesus' attention. It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, you know, he asked him, what can I do for you? But I just love that verse. It says he's traveling with a multitude. And that's one guy sitting beside the road crying out, and Jesus heard him. That really stood out to me. I don't know if you've ever read all the Gospels. I hope you have. But all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're just really busy. What I mean by that is they're just jam-packed to, you know, full of how busy Jesus was all the time. Jesus was extremely busy all the time, but he never got in a hurry. You know, as soon as he was finished with one thing, there was another thing right there, or another person or another situation just right there. He never had a He never caught a break, but he never got in a hurry. You know, like I said, as soon as one thing was done, there was another one for him to take care of right there. But I think we should take a lesson from Jesus on that. Even though he was extremely busy, he took time out of his busy schedule to get alone and pray regularly. You know, if you read through the Gospels, he was always, it says he would go off into a desert place by himself and pray. He stopped and he got alone with his Father in prayer. And not just to stop and pray and talk to his Father, he took time to stop and eat and fellowship with people. You know, you can read through the Gospels and he's going to Levi's house or he's going to Zacchaeus' house. He's all the time going to somebody's house and fellowship and spend time with people. And he took a break, even though he was that busy. It's even recorded in Mark chapter 4, I think, verse 38, where he actually took a nap. And I don't think they put that in the Bible for no reason either. You know, as busy as he was, he even found time to take a nap. And I know a lot of us are just super busy all the time, and we think we don't have time to stop and pray, or we don't have time to read God's Word. It says everything that Jesus did is an example for us. So even if we are busy, we have to trust God enough to stop sometimes and make some time for him, just like he makes time for us. You know, even though he was always dealing with multitudes of people and large crowds and thousands of people at a time, he always took the time to deal with individuals. You know, all through the Gospels, you can read where he would just stop right in the middle of those huge crowds and minister to just one person. And if Jesus can stop and take time to pay his full attention to just one person, I think we should be able to do that for him. You know, stop every once in a while and give him our full, undivided attention, especially when we need his help. You know, we can't just keep trucking 100 miles an hour, staying busy and not stop and give him some attention and expect him to answer us. We have to just stop what we're doing for a second and acknowledge God and ask him for his help and pray to him and get in his word, and he will speak to us. He will answer us. I think that's why I love verse 40 so much. I can just picture all those thousands of people in that multitude just stopping and getting quiet when Jesus stopped to see what he was going to do next. Because the blind man was crying out to him, and it says he just stood and commanded him to be brought to him. You know, even though he was in the middle of that multitude, he heard that one guy crying out to him, and he stopped. And I believe a lot of times we think God can't hear our cries. You know, there's 8 billion people in the world. God don't have time for me. We think we're too small or we're lost, you know, in a crowd. And sometimes I believe we feel like God can't see us. And I think they put that in there too, just to let us know God does see you. Even if you feel insignificant, or you feel like, you know, nobody sees you, God always sees you. And if you cry out to him, just like that blind man did there, he will stop and he will talk to you. And just like he talked to him in verse 41, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, Jesus heard him over that large crowd, and he stopped and asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said that I may receive my sight. So Jesus stopped what he was doing and paid attention to him and asked him, "What can I do for you?" And God hears you too. You know, I got to thinking to myself, if all that guy was doing was sitting there beside the road complaining about being blind, and Jesus and the crowd would have just walked right by him, and he'd still be sitting there blind. He'd still be sitting there blind and complaining about being blind. You know, things don't change because we complain about them or gossip about them. or post how miserable we are because of them, or how mad we are on Facebook, or, you know, things change by bringing them to God in faith. And that's what it says in verse 42 there. It says, Jesus said unto him, receive your sight, your faith has saved you. Because of his faith, he received his sight. Because he cried out to Jesus in faith. One of the biggest ways we can witness and be a witness for Christ is simply bringing our problems to God in faith and seeking him and praying to him and giving him the praise for being so good to us. I don't know if you remember a few months ago, we were studying about being a witness. And, you know, we talked about the definition of a witness, and all that is sharing what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've experienced. And it talks about that in verse 43 there. It says, when all the people saw it or witnessed what God had done for him, they all praised God. So that's a witness. All those people that were around in that multitude, just because he was crying out to Jesus in faith, knowing he could do something, when they all got to see him get healed because he cried out to God. And they all, the whole multitude, gave praise to God. So that turned out to be a huge witness for God, just because they got to witness what God had done for him. So the same thing is true in our lives. When we cry out to God, you know, when we call ourselves Christians and people see us going through a hard time and they see how we deal with it, and if we take it to God and they watch God help us through that thing, then that brings glory to God. So that is a huge witness. And I think another example for us, it says after he received his sight, he followed him. He followed Jesus, glorifying God. And we should do the same thing. You know, when he gets us through something in our life, or when we get saved and receive our spiritual sight, you might say, we shouldn't be able to help but follow him and to live for him and glorify God and give praise to God for what he's done for us. You know, that's all a witness means, is to trust God with the things in our lives, and all you got to do is praise him for what he's doing. And people will see that. They'll see what God's doing in your life, and it'll bring glory to God. You know, we're never, ever going to get happy or joyful or hopeful by complaining or focusing on negative things all the time. That will always, every time, just makes things worse. It never makes things better. All that'll do is depress us and get us in bad moods. And once we have a negative mindset, then it's almost impossible to see anything good in your life when you're focusing on all the bad things. Every time we make the choice to do something wrong, or we choose to focus on those bad things or negative things, it deteriorates our souls, and the enemy knows that. That's what he's trying to do. It steals our joy. It steals our happiness. It steals any hope we might have that things are going to get better. And we just wind up getting worse morally. We start making worse moral choices. We get worse spiritually. That's when we stop praying and we stop reading our Bibles. We get so used to negativity that we're numb to what it's doing to us. We're numb to what it's doing to our relationships with other people and with our relationship with God. A lot of y'all know, I encourage you all the time to read a proverb a day. You know, there's a proverb for every day of the month, and that's one of my habits, is to read whatever day of the month it is. I'll read that proverb for the day. And Proverb 7 is pretty much about sexual immorality, but what it's really talking about is when we turn our backs on wisdom and make foolish or unwise choices. It don't have to be sexual immorality, but that's what Proverbs 7 is about. That can be in any area of your life. But every time we make those bad choices, it always leads to decline. It always winds up bringing us down and never lifting us up. Every time we make a bad choice, it's always down, 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 and eventually it brings death. You know, it never brings life into our, it never speaks life into our life or brings anything positive. It's always negative and it's always downward. And that's why I chose these two verses out of Proverbs 7, is because they talk about going down. And like I said, the end, it brings death, not most of the time, not physical death, but definitely death to our happiness, our joy. If we have dreams, it brings, you know, death to our dreams or a hope for a future. You know, having any kind of satisfaction in your life. Being able to just have some comfort in your life mentally and spiritually and emotionally. And like I said, that, you know, there could be any bad choices. It don't have to be sexual immorality. But in Proverbs 7, verses 25 through 27, if you'll notice in these verses, it's always down, down, down. It says, let not your heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded. Yeah, many strong men have been slain by her or killed by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So all those bad choices that we make when we, you know, choose to make those choices. Because I think God gives us wisdom before we make our choices. If we're praying and in God's word the way that we should be, we know when we're making choices if this is a good choice or a bad choice. And every time we make those bad ones, it just brings us further down. But all of God's ways are always up and up and up, and they bring, you know, it passes from death to life. They add life to our life. And you'll see the contrast in Proverbs chapter 4. I was going to read verses 18 through 23. If you'll think about the ones we just read, they're always going down. But they say, but the path of the just, you know, making the right choices, is there's a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what he's saying there is, instead of making those bad choices that bring you down, 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 and eventually all the way to death and darkness, if we do things God's way, it gets brighter and brighter, like it said in verse 18, until the perfect day. And then if we keep those things in our heart and make those wise choices, then in, like it says in verse 23, it brings life. You know, it says health to our flesh. It brings life into our life instead of us bringing darkness and death into our life and always dragging us down. You know, I'm always telling you to, almost every week we go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. But this week I want to read all the way from 1 to 8. If you didn't read anything else, if you just read these 8 verses and, you know, we're obedient to them, this gives you a pretty good description of how to live your life, how to walk your, you know, your day-to-day life. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. You know, we just read a second ago, it says, out of your heart flows the issues of life. So God's saying, keep my commandments in your heart for length of days and long life and peace. Those are the things that we're seeking for, and we're, a lot of times we look for them in the wrong places. That's why he's saying, keep my commandments. Do things my way. Keep these things in your heart, and you'll have length of days and long life and peace, and they'll be added to you. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. He says over and over, keep these things in your heart and meditate on them and they'll help you make good choices throughout your days. Then you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust, and these are the verses we hit almost every week, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, we talk almost every week about we get so busy, and we're going from one thing to the next, one thing to the next, one thing to the next, and we just simply don't involve God. We don't acknowledge God in all our ways. We think, well, I got this, or I got this, or I got this, and he tells us, no, acknowledge me in all your ways. Even the things you think, I've got this, I've done this a million times. Do it with God involved. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's why it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, he don't mean be afraid of God. He just means be aware of God. Fear the Lord, you know. Involve him, acknowledge him in everything you do. And it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. So not only do we make healthier decisions that add life to our lives, it actually leads to better health too, the Bible says. When we do things God's way, we're not stressed out all the time. We're not worried about how this is going to work out or how that's going to work out, because we trust God and we know if we do things God's way, it will work out. No matter what the circumstances look like, I trust God and I'm going to do it the way he tells me to do it. And I have to trust him with the outcome of those choices. But if we're making choices that God tells us to make, he says his word never fails and it has never failed me. And I know it never will. You know, I talk with people all the time that are going through hard times. And, you know, most of the time it's something that I've been through myself. And almost all of them, you know, they talk about dreams that they have or plans for the future when things get better or whenever this is over, whatever this might be that they're going through. And they smile when they, you know, think about doing those things. When they think about those dreams and the plans that coming true, it gives them hope. And then they look at their current situation, and a lot of times their smile goes away because they start losing hope that this is, you know, ever going to come to pass. Like I said, when we started out, people get to the point where they're like, it's never going to get better, this is never going to change. And when they look at things that way, they can't see their dreams coming true anymore. And it's right back to being depressed and being hopeless. And, you know, I can't do that. So we can't get there. We gotta keep our dreams alive. We have to keep our dreams and our good plans for the future and trust God that they are going to happen. There's a verse in Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, when our plans don't come true, when we have dreams that we don't think are going to come true, it says it makes our heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. You know, if all we do is sit around and think and focus on the negative or the way things are now and we lose our plans for the future, the Bible says it makes us sick. It literally makes our hearts sick. But when we do follow God and we get his word in our hearts, like we've been reading there in Proverbs 3, and being obedient to him, and when we start to see these good things start to happen, and when our dreams do start becoming a reality, it says it's a tree of life. And it really is. I mean, I can remember things I had given up hope on. And, you know, just quit thinking that they would ever come true. When they started coming true and those things did start happening, it really is a tree of life. You'll start having hope that you hadn't had in a long time. And the more we follow God and the more we make those good choices, the more those things start to happen, the more they start becoming realities. and the more our hopes and our plans seem possible again. You know, I know for me, I had all kinds of plans and dreams and hopes of the way things could be, but I had to be honest with myself, and I had to realize that none of these things are ever going to happen if I choose to keep doing things my way. You know, for me, it was my biggest problem was my drinking. And every time I would choose to drink, I was just making my already bad situation worse. You know, every time I took a drink, my plans and my dreams just got a little further from me. And I knew that, but I kept doing it anyway. So every time I would choose to do that, I was just making my situation worse. And I was just pushing my hopes and dreams further away. And it wasn't until I made that choice that I wanted a better life, more than I wanted that old one, and I was willing to give the old one up to get it, that's when the things started to change. And that's what all of us have to do. We have to make a choice. You know, I want that new life, and I'm going to do what it takes to get it. You know, things didn't get better until I brought them to Jesus and asked him to help me do the things that I couldn't do. You know, I knew I couldn't do those things on my own, but I knew he could if I surrendered it to him. You know, we say this all the time too, and almost every week, for some reason, we come back to this verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And we do reap what we sow. You know, I had to realize I couldn't expect things to get better while I was still doing the wrong things. And I think, you know, a lot of us have those unrealistic expectations. We just expect things to get better while we're doing the wrong thing. And it don't work like that. We have to choose to start doing the right things and to stop doing the wrong things. That's when things get better. I wouldn't hear this Sunday, but the Sunday before last, you know, Josh was saying if we want a good harvest, we have to be planting good seeds, you know. I know for me, I would get discouraged because things weren't working out, so that would be my excuse to drink. And then things wouldn't work out because I was drinking. You know, it just became an endless cycle. I would get frustrated because things wasn't working out, so I would drink. And then things wouldn't work out because I drank. So I had to wake up and see that and recognize that endless cycle and put a stop to it. And I know that was what it was for me, but I think everybody's got something like that in their life. You know, what are you sowing that is stopping your plans or your dreams? Everybody's got something, but there has to come a point where you realize that that's not working. And not only realize that it's not working, but we have to stop planting the bad seeds. And not only stop planting the bad ones, we have to start planting some good seeds. You know, things don't grow on their own. We say all the time that, you know, change is intentional. It don't just happen. We have to put our share of the work in too. So we have to start planting some good seeds. I think a perfect verse for this is in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And if you're not reading the proverb a day, I strongly recommend you do that because these really do help you in your everyday life. It says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." You know, when we start doing things God's way, we'll start getting our vision back and we don't perish. You know, it gives us hope for a future. When we lose our vision and all we can see is doom and gloom, you know, we die inside. We perish. But when we start doing things God's way, our hope comes back. Our eyes are opened again, and we start seeing a future. So we start making plans, even if we've given up on them. And like we said a while ago, when we start giving up on our dreams, it makes our heart sick. And it says doing it God's way, things will work out. That same verse in the NLT version, it says, when we don't accept divine guidance, they just run wild. And that's what we do. You know, when we ignore what God's word says, or when we ignore the good counsel that we get from godly people, we just run wild. We go right back to doing things our way. We go right back to whatever our old coping mechanisms were. And that's when things start falling apart again. And that's when we start getting those negative consequences again. But when it says, whoever obeys the law is joyful. So when we start doing things God's way, things start working out again. So don't give up on your dreams. God wants us to have hopes, and he wants us to have dreams. And he knows how much joy we get when they happen. You know, we read a while ago, it says when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And it says God even has plans and hopes for a good future for us. And I'm sure all of y'all have heard that. This verse in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You know, there's bad things happening all over the world, but God's plans for us are not in this world. It says all through the Bible that we are strangers here. We are sojourners here. You know, we're pilgrims here. This is not going to be our home. That's not our eternal future. God has plans for good and not disaster for us, to give us a future and a hope, eternal life with him. So we have to focus on those things and not all these negative things that are happening. God created us to have hopes and dreams. We just have to start making choices to help those things happen and not choices to stop those things from happening, like I used to do. You know, God's not a party pooper. He just wants things for us that really are good for us. You know, he says he won't withhold anything good from us. If you need a verse to hang on to sometimes, that's a good one. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So God don't want us to live unfulfilled lives. He wants us to have good things. And it says he won't withhold any good thing from us that walk uprightly. So don't give up on your dreams and your good plans. That's what leads us to depression and being unhappy and all that. If you have give up on them, start over. I had to start over. And you don't have to start over with great big grand plans. Just make some little ones, you know. Make some good ones. And be like the blind man in Luke 18 we were reading about. Cry out to Jesus and he will hear you. And he'll not only hear you, he'll help you. And if you get in his word and pray on a daily basis and seek him, he will talk to you on a daily basis. And like we read in Proverbs 3, just a minute ago, he will direct your path. And if you keep following him, things will get better. Never give up hope. That's what the enemy wants us to do, is to give up hope. And just focus on the negative, and then he don't have to do anything else. We do it to ourselves. So rekindle your hope if you're losing hope. But you have to be willing to change whatever God says to change. And most of the things that God says to get rid of or change are going to be the things that we don't want to get rid of or change. But they are the things we need to get rid of. I tell you all the time that you can't start a new life while you're still living the old one. You have to make a decision. We got to put to death that old life and start living the new one. Find out what's holding you back and get rid of it. And God will help you get rid of it. You don't have to get rid of it all by yourself. God will help you do that. Just like he helped me and countless other people do that. You just got to be willing to get rid of the old stuff. So God will help you do that because he knows you're not capable of doing it by yourself. I know for me, I had to ask him, you know, what do you want me to change? What do you want me to get rid of? And he will show you what it is, and he'll show you which way to go. And a good verse for that, or two verses, is in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God." This is giving God permission to search me and know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, and point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's saying, show me what is in my life that don't need to be there, that I need to change, and then show me how to change it. And he will do that. If you'll read that prayerfully to him, he'll answer your prayer. But we've got to set some goals. I was just telling Mom last night, I think it was, that I need to start setting some goals in my life. I've got so busy in this last season that I've got more focused on my to-do list, what I need to do at work, and this and this and this, and trying to keep up, that I got to thinking about it last night. I don't have any little short-term goals that I could be reaching, you know, to get some satisfaction out of. So I'm sat down last night and made myself a list of little goals. You know, nothing major. I got some things that need painted at home. I got a few things I could fix. Just little stuff like that. Things that I can accomplish that won't be that hard, that's not expensive, that I can do, that I can get some happiness and some joy out of. You know, if we don't set those little goals to get some joy here and there out of them, then we're not going to have the joy that we're looking for. We've got to seek joy. We've got to pursue joy. It don't just happen. We've got to be intentional about it. So if you don't have any goals in your life right now, that's homework for this week, is to set some goals. They don't, like I said, they don't have to be big ones. Just set some little ones, things that you would enjoy doing. Go to a park if you ain't been to a park in a while, or just whatever makes you happy. Set a goal and do it. And you'll get some joy out of doing something like that. I'm going to do that this week. And we'll start getting that happiness and that joy back when we see those things working out. Like we read a while ago, it says when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. It'll start, you know, picking us up out of that hopelessness and getting hope again. It'll start giving us the happiness and the joy that we need in our lives. But, like I say almost every week, if you don't change anything, nothing is going to change. The only way change comes is when we change something. So we have to be willing to change and ask God to help us change, and he will help us. So if you need encouragement in your life, start setting some goals and getting God's word every day and pray to him every day, and he will lead you and he will guide you. And if you have a hard time doing that by yourself, get in a group. You know, we're starting up a whole bunch of small groups here at the church. Get involved in one of those. There's something almost every day here at the church you could be involved in. Get some phone numbers and call people. Get involved. But that's what I'm going to do this week. I've made myself some small goals to work on, and I hope you'll do the same thing so we can start getting that joy back in our lives and realize that those things come from God. And I do hope that helps somebody this week. I know it's helped me, and I ain't even done it yet, just sitting down and making that little list of something I could do. Just thinking about getting those things done makes me happy. And I'm going to work my hardest this week to try and get them done. And I know when I do get them done, that I'll get some satisfaction out of that, instead of dissatisfaction of knowing that I didn't do anything. But I hope you do that this week, and I hope it brings you some joy and some satisfaction. But that's about all I've got for this week. I hope that lifts somebody's spirits and gives you the hope to do something in your life and bring some joy back in, instead of focusing on bad things all the time. There's plenty of good out there if we'll look for it and create it and blend it into our lives. So thank y'all for letting me share, and I'll pray for us and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for the message that you put on my heart this week. I think all of us could use some more joy in our lives, Lord, and some hope and some dreams for the future, something to look forward to, Lord. And I pray that you would just help each and every one of us this week, Lord, to try and do some little thing that brings us joy. And help us to look to you, Lord, for the direction that we need to go. And show us the things in our lives, Lord, like your word says, that are leading us in the wrong way or dragging us down, Lord. And help us to set those things aside and go in a different direction, Lord, that leads us closer to you and into the life full of joy that I know you have for each and every one of us. Father, I just pray again that you'd be with those that are sick and help them through their illness, Lord. Help them to recover and to get better. And I just pray that you'd comfort them while they're sick. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the ones that are here to help us all to get home safely, Lord. And we give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.